This is the Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.
It is really great to be joined by Jane Murray. Of course, it's UV Protection Month. And Jane, you're very welcome onto the show. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us here on iRadio.
No problem. Nice to talk to you. Thank you, Louise.
Now, you've bravely spoken about your battle with skin cancer. Can you tell me a little bit about your journey? What you went through when you first got diagnosed?
It was all a very crazy few months. It all happened very quickly, and I kind of am still in a bit of a bubble about the whole thing because I kind of still can't even believe it actually happened. I went in, had a mole that a friend had pointed out for a long time and family members had been pointing out for a few years that I just ignored. I couldn't see it. It was in the back of my left arm. So it was getting to the point where my friend, who's a nurse, kept at me about it over and over. And I just went, and then family members again then started this because he was obviously a nurse. So they were like, well, you should listen to him. Mm-hmm. And it just got to a point where people were annoying me about it so much that I said, okay, I'm going to just go and get it looked at to just shut people up. Really, yeah. That's exactly why I went and got it looked at. I wasn't concerned about it. It didn't look like it was anything I should be concerned about. I would have never thought anything of it. It wasn't itchy. It wasn't any kind of other symptoms that you kind of would get with skin cancer, some skin cancers. It was just there. Yeah. And I went after holidays last year. We went on a big family holiday last July, and everybody was at me about it. So I came home from that holiday in August, made the appointment, got an appointment in the Beacon for November. And the doctor in the Beacon had asked me, had I noticed, had it changed? And I said, I couldn't tell you. I said, didn't even really pay any attention to it. So she said, look, we'll just take it off just to be safe. So that happened in December. Went in, 10-second procedure, mole was gone. I had a few stitches, couldn't really, was annoyed that I had got done then because I go to the gym a lot and yeah. work out. And I do remember being in the gym in December and being annoyed that I had listened to anybody because I couldn't lift weights and I couldn't do this and couldn't do what I wanted to do. So I do remember like thinking to myself, what a waste of my time. Like now I'm look at my bloody stitches in my arm and can't do this, can't do that. Didn't think about it again. And then I got an email in February to ask, could I come back and see the doctor? And I do remember thinking, she told me that she wouldn't have to see me again unless there was something wrong.
Right.
So emailed and asked, is this something I should be concerned about? They said no. Obviously, they weren't going to tell me by over an email.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she didn't tell, my friend had breast cancer. And she said to me, well, did they tell you to bring somebody with you? And I said, no. She said, then you're fine. She's like, if there was something wrong, they would have told you to bring your husband with you. So I didn't, my husband waited in the car park. I went up to the doctor on my own. And she kind of said that there'd been a discrepancy, that it had taken so long for the results because there'd been a discrepancy with the pathologists here about the level, what stage I was at. So they'd had to send it away to Europe to get tested. And she said, unfortunately, it came back that it was stage 2 melanoma. So from then, that moment on, I didn't hear another word she really said.
My gosh.
So.
And how do you deal with something like that? Obviously, you know, you have to try and take in, you have to try and take in the diagnosis. I'll always remember sadly, my mum has passed away from ovarian cancer, but I'll always remember the day that, you know, you get the news that it's not positive. And you're like that, yeah. I remember your brain goes blank. But how did you manage to kind of take the information in and go, okay, right, this is something I have to deal with?
I did take a couple of days. I even going home, I remember going home in the car and my sister was obviously waiting to hear from me and my son and stuff like that. And just saying, like, I remember not being able to talk, just saying it's stage 2 melanoma. And that's all I could say to people. I kind of couldn't elaborate more than that because I couldn't get my head around it myself. I just couldn't believe that this is what happened. I was so positive in a way going over there that there was nothing wrong and that I was just being called out to the Beacon on a Wednesday evening for, you know, ridiculous, just for them to get another appointment kind of out of me, like really stupid things. So it was really a shock. I really was in shock. I got lost. I do remember I got lost coming out. I ended up in an underground car park in the Beacon in the middle of nowhere. My husband was on the phone. He was like to me, where are you? And I was like, I don't know where I am. And he was like, okay, well, look around. I was like, I can't. I remember just standing there going, just find me. I'm here. Just find me somewhere. He's like, well, I can't. So I do, like, I just went completely blank, completely shock. And it did take a couple of days for me to come around to it. And then I rang, she said to me, I know you're not listening to me and I know you're not taking in anything I'm saying. So I just need you to go home and call me tomorrow with all your questions.
Yeah.
So that's what I kind of did. I sat down the next day, then I kind of went, okay, right. We've caught it in time. This is really good. Mm-hmm. This is really positive. You're going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. But you still don't see that.
Yeah, of course.
The words come out of her mouth.
Of course, yeah. I know you've been really honest having a chat about, you know, your past and using sunbags regularly from your teens and then into your 20s. And I think it's just something that seemed to be so common years ago. But did you ever imagine then later that it may have led to cancer in later life? That obviously doesn't pop into your head.
No, I mean, it would be a good 15 years, maybe 16 years since I used a sunbed, but I would have done them a lot back in my teens. And it was always a thing to do, going to weddings or going on holidays. Having a base tan was the thing back in the day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then there were a lot of people that would say, oh, well, I have eczema or I've acne or this. And the doctor told me I should be using sunbeds to clear it up. So then you're kind of like, oh, okay. Well, if the doctors are telling people to use it for those kind of skin conditions, then it must be okay. So no, it never was something that I thought possible. I never thought that I'd get skin cancer. Never. Even all the I was a sun worshiper, like completely. As soon as the sun came out in the morning on holidays, I'd be out at the sun lounger and till the death of the day, like till it was time to go shower and go out.
Yeah.
I loved the sun. So
I know you were at a meeting last week and Ata Taoiseach Micheál Martin described a ban on sunbeds as a no-brainer. If it's such a no-brainer, why do you think that they haven't banned them yet? I feel like I've been doing this show for nearly 7 years, and I think it's something that I've been consistently talking about every single year, and we still haven't seen a ban on sunbeds.
I do. From the meeting on Monday, it did sound very likely that it is going to go ahead. There was they have banned them in Australia, and there was a man there from Australia talking about how well their ban has gone and how much money it saved the government. Mm-hmm. And how much that it's brought down their rates of melanoma and everything. So it really is a no-brainer, but they suppose they have to look. The Australia government, they gave the sunbed owners a 2-year lead in. So they had 2 years, they gave them 2 years notice where they had 2 years to change their business to something else, or like spray tans and things like that.
Sure,
a lot of the businesses they found were in beauticians. So, I mean, they had no problem kind of saying that, well, you've already got a business set up there. So, I mean, you just have to take the sunbeds out and focus on your other part of your business. And I think the main thing on Monday was how much money it will save the government, because there's 11,000 cases a year diagnosed of skin cancer in Ireland, and that was the statistics of how much it's due to increase over between, like, I think it was 2025 and 2025 and 2045. They said that it's due to double the amount of skin cancer cases in Ireland.
Wow. What's the one thing that you maybe wish that people truly understood about skin cancer that maybe they don't right now?
That the earlier you catch it, the better. Mm. Like, it really is. The doctor told me the scariest thing I think about my whole journey was that after the surgery, I went in and he told me, you know, that that when I went in to get, sorry, to meet the surgeon, I said to him, if my family hadn't have pushed me and I hadn't have had people around me really pushing me to get that mole removed, because I honestly did never even really noticed it. I said, what would have happened? And he just kind of gave me a very strange look, and he just said, you would have been in so much trouble. He said, you would have been asymptomatic until you were stage 4, and there would have been nothing we could really do to help you.
Oh my God. So it just goes to show, yeah.
Yeah, it really does, because I would have been just going on and on and on. And like, if you did, like, there's not a lot, like, I find it very hard to not say to somebody, which is something I have to do now, to not say to somebody, have you had that mole checked?
Yeah.
It's none of my business whether you've had the mole, like strangers. Or I was away on holidays recently and I really had to resist the urge to tell someone, a woman beside me, she was really sunburned. Like, this is the kind of, I wish, but then, I mean, I had people telling me that and I still didn't listen.
Yeah.
So like it took me 4 years to get the mole checked that a nurse was telling me needed to be checked.
Yeah, yeah. And I hope that you're doing okay now. I suppose I didn't initially say, and how are you now, which is an oversight on my part, but I hope you're doing okay.
I'm doing great. Yeah, I really am. I'm doing great. I mean, I just feel so lucky. I really, really do to have gotten through it without, like, I mean, I have a scar, a massive scar on my arm, but after time that'll fade. I still have my future ahead of me. So that's more important than a scar on my arm. But no, I am. I'm doing great. I mean, it was a big adjustment. I was a bit worried about going on holidays last week, about how I would, because I obviously now I can't go into the sun between 11 and 3.
Sure, yeah.
I have to wear factor 50 all the time, long sleeve tops, hat. So it's completely different holiday to me this year than any other holiday I've ever been on. So I was a bit worried how I, and the first few days I was very scared, I suppose, of the sun in a way. But I did kind of loosen up. Like the doctor did say to me, she said, you have to live your life. She told me the best advice that she gave me. She said, I have to make a decision now whether I'm going to let cancer be my future or let cancer be my past.
For sure, yeah.
She said, it's gone. It's in the past. She's like, and you have to make a decision now whether you're going to move forward and live the rest of your life now without worrying every day that it's going to come back. So that's definitely just what I have to do.
Jane, it's been so lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for talking about your diagnosis, and we wish you all the best, and it's been lovely to talk to you, and we wish you all the best for the future, and no doubt you are doing such an amazing job in spreading cancer awareness to people who may need to get checked, and if it's something you need to do, get out there and do it. But Jane, thanks so much for coming on
the
show.
I really
appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, Louise. The Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.